This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the live stream and welcome back to the Seasiders podcast, Extra Time show on a Wednesday evening. Been off air for 10 days. I've been on my holidays in the Alps, but we're back on with Andy, Nick and Tom this evening. How are we doing, gents?
Very well.
All good.
Good evening, everyone.
Right. Let's go on. Tim's playing pretend football this evening, as Raggy likes to brand his walking football. Bit of a joke. He always says in our group, I'm playing football. And I always say, what real football? And it tickles Raggy all the time. Yeah, he may be jumping in after 20 minutes. Tom will be talking about Northampton. He actually went last night. So without further ado, let's get going. Three games since last pod. Obviously, we've beaten Shrewsbury 2-0, Nick. I think I've just put a must-win one there. So it was job done, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was, yeah. Pretty routine, really, and good to see, because we seem to see every game now, don't we? Oh, it's a must-win, it's a must-win. And thankfully, yeah, we got the win, and it set us up nicely for top of the league, Pompey at Bloomfield Road.
Yeah, so, Andy, it was a brilliant performance from Blackpool. I think we were in the ascendancy. We were, say, dominating the game, but we were on the front foot more than Portsmouth were. And referee decides to completely ruin the game by sending Jordan Rose off, completely changed the complexion of the game.
Well, I probably, along with everyone else, thought he'd blown up for the foul on Beasley. Hope the EFL don't send any more refs from Preston our way. He can do one. Mr. Duckworth, you can. You're deposited to room 101 Blackpool style.
I was thinking of a Jack Duckworth style gag with this fella. Do you know who Jack Duckworth is, Tom?
Are we talking Coronation Street there?
We are. Yeah.
Well done, Tom.
Trying to think of a pigeon-related quip, but I couldn't in time.
NHS specs with the sides held on with a piece of elastoplast. Yeah. I'm sure something will come to us, but yeah, Nick, it was a travesty, to say the least.
It was, yeah, because we'd looked, that I think it's really 6 points clear at the top when we played them, and we were more than matching them. Rhodes has had a decent chance that went just wide, and we were on the front foot, and it was a good game. And then, like you say, the red card just absolutely killed it. And you're then thinking, right, well, can we hang on for a point? And thankfully we did. But yeah, and that ref, I know, he's from Preston, bit of a conspiracy theory, which I don't necessarily buy into, but he's known for giving loads of cards out. But when he went up for the ball, like you say, there'd been the foul on Beasley. So you're thinking, has he waited for a second to see what's happened? And then he's pulling it back. And then he waits and waits for about 20 seconds and pulls a red card out. And, you know, you look at the replay and you kind of get an idea, don't you, when you think, oh, he might be in trouble there. And this was, you know, he's kind of gone up with his arm, but he's not gone up with his elbow. And the guy puts in an Oscar-winning performance rolling around.
Nobber as well, Nick. Joe Rafferty, ex Nobber.
And holding his face where he didn't get hit. He wasn't touched on his face, by the way. And so it was hardly a swinging elbow, was it? It wasn't a swinging elbow.
You know when you think, oh God, we might, you know, that might be a red, when they kind of they run in and they go in with their elbow and you think he's caught him there. But it wasn't like that for me at all. And everybody around me was just like, I cannot believe it. I can't fathom it. And like I say, it just kills the game. I mean, Rhodes didn't protest at all, really, did he? He just went straight off. But that's perhaps just because he's
a consummate pro.
Yeah, exactly. And he just thought, you can't argue with stupid. And off he went. And yeah, like I say, then you're just hoping we can stay in it and get a point. And to be fair, it was brilliant from then on as well, the way we battled and you know, and managed to get a point, and it may well prove to be, you know, a very valuable point. But for the ref, you know, he gets overturned, but there's no consequence, is there? He'll be reffing again and probably doing similar things. Let's just hope it doesn't cost us. I'm not saying, you know, we necessarily go on to win the game, but you've a damn sight more chance with Jordan Rhodes on the pitch than off it, you know?
And Beach just said, why didn't Rhodes complain to the ref? He went straight down the tunnel. And we've covered that, haven't we? I think he's very level headed. I think he's an intelligent player, and I think he just realises it was futile.
Yeah,
arguing with the ref.
Obviously, I've only seen it on telly, the red card, but what was it like in the ground? Because I've only seen that one replay, and it looked soft, but you could see he lean with his arm. So I just thought, from the perspective of he's just not going to overturn it because his arm was there. So I was quite surprised it got overturned, but I don't know what it looked like in the ground. Probably a bit more uproar than the cameras suggested, even with the elbow.
It's a bit difficult. I mean, to where I am, I'm in the south, and I just turned to Sharpie and said, I wonder if he's done him there. He's actually, you know, so you're questioning yourself, has he thrown the elbow, and the guy's rolling around like, you know, the tour to Barcelona, etc. It was a very sort of foreign football thing to us, wasn't it, years ago, where we'd saw a player rolling round the ground and just think, like, English players don't do that. And there's it just shows you how it's crept into our game. And to be fair to Rafferty, he's played the ref brilliantly, hasn't he? And he's got him sent off. And, like,
he's Irish, handy. Yeah, Joe Rafferty. There he is. Forget the face. Got Jordan Rhodes sent off.
I'm sure he'll get a warm welcome when he comes back next time, put it that way.
Yeah.
But there's no consistency, because there was a challenge in the second half. I can't remember who it was on, but the Pompey player went right over the top of the ball.
Yeah.
And caught it.
It was Moxon, wasn't it? It was Moxon.
Was it?
We were supposed to be signing, yeah. Mm-hmm. Owen Moxon.
Carlisle, yeah. And yeah, it's just the inconsistency. So, like I say, hopefully it won't end up costing us. But we you know, we deserve to get a point in the end, I thought.
Just special shout out to Grimmy in that game. I've just watched it on Tangerine TV in a French hotel. But Grimmy, he more or less kept us in that game in the second half. He was superb, which makes an absolute mockery of his dropping last season.
Yeah, it's a great save from the free kick, wasn't it, as well?
A quick look at the old momentum graph. Let's bring that up. Laugh at this. Look at how much we were dominating.
Yeah.
Until the sending out.
Can you see the red cards about there?
Mm.
Look at that. That perfectly illustrates graphically how much the referee ruined and changed that game. And he ruined the game as well.
Yeah, you know,
it was a spectacle.
Mm. Just completely switched on its head, didn't it? The whole game switched on its head. And it's like, you know, it's just a joke. Just like, I think the only thing we can sum that up with was we deserved a point out of the game. I honestly, hand on heart, think we'd have got all three if we hadn't have had the sending off. But those two worst challenges in that game, one from each side, that should have been more sendings off than Rhodes, put it that way.
Yeah, absolutely.
But there you go.
If you look at the Portsmouth, you expected them to go on and pepper the goal. They put pressure on towards the end, but it certainly wasn't a completely one-sided game.
No, not at all. Like I say, I thought for first half an hour or so, we were much the better team, and we were getting on top. They were giving the ball away. We were pressing well, creating chances, and then ref gets involved, and it completely swings it on its head, doesn't it?
But obviously that's happened. I think it galvanised Blackpool in
definitely. Yeah, and the crowd as well. It was kind of like, right, we've got to play our part here. And, I'm sure the players discussed it at half-time and will have asked Jordan Rhodes about it and probably came out, like you say, yeah, a bit more galvanised and, look, we need to dig in here because we don't deserve what's happened. And thankfully, we managed to hold on.
And did you think that's developed a more robustness in the squad? And also, I think this the fact that we'd been wronged in a way could bring the squad closer together, the team close together, the fans. And I think it might, it may have been a blessing in disguise, this. I think it's like us against the world kind of mentality now.
Yeah, in my time, I was 4 years at Everton, and when I used to see them, they were their crowd were at their best when it was went against them. They had a sending off or something really badly went against them, and then suddenly the ground got up and you felt the raucous atmosphere there, and I think we felt the injustice on Saturday, and that was as close as we've been recently to everybody being on the same page. And that was definitely and I think Critchley, for all the moans that we all have, and I'm as big a one as there is against him, really, apart from Colin. And I think that he's bought himself a bit of time now, but he'll only buy himself time as long as we stay in this playoffs and we can see something that we're building for the future. And as long as he's doing that, then I think we'll all buy into him. But he's got a lot of work to do still in that regard. But let's hope we're all on the same page and we go to Wigan on Saturday in that vein.
Matt Mellor just said the one thing it did create was a great home support, Nick.
I think everybody realised we've got to play our part here, and it's a two-way street, isn't it? I think the players react to it and we react to it when we're playing well. So the North was in full voice, and even the West, there were people clapping and all sorts. So yeah, it was good to see. And it's, when the North's in full voice, there's nowhere better, is there? We know it's absolutely rocking, and Critch has talked about it, the players have talked about it, and it can make all the difference.
Okay, so a great point earned by Blackpool there. 11 Warriors on the pitch, it really introduced a different facet of the players' abilities for me, and I was like proud of the team. Obviously, I'm not there.
10 Warriors.
Team, 10 Warriors, sorry, yeah. But let's move on to Northampton 0, Blackpool 1, which was last night's game.
Can I just quickly say, Paul Williams is in the chat, so like him throwing his flask and his tartan rug at the Pompey manager deserves looking at, really.
What's that?
Paul Williams, I think he threw his tartan rug and his flask at the Pompey manager or something like that.
Right, Northampton, Blackpool lined up. Grimshaw, Gabriel, Pennington, Norburn, Byers, Dembele, Coulson, Rhodes, Beasley, Casey and Akpitata. Nick, come to you first. I'm just trying to remember, when was Jimmy's husband injured? It was the Pompey game, wasn't it?
I think he was injured. Yeah, I was happy with that lineup. I think Beasley has deserved to keep his place. He puts a shift in, and elsewhere, there's a couple of injuries, isn't there? Morgan's still out, so sort of the midfield two looks after itself, and The rest, yeah, I was happy, you know, like Casey. So, yeah, I was pretty pleased when I saw it and thought we're in with a good chance of ending the midweek hoodoo, so to speak.
Tuesday night and away hoodoo. Tom, let's come to you now. You've obviously made the journey from Northampton to your Leeds base. What was the mood in the away end like when that the news dropped, that team?
Yeah, I mean, it pretty much picks itself, like I say, don't you? So husband injured, so you know Casey's coming in, or Connolly, if he's going to throw a curveball. In terms of the injuries, you know, because husband's out now, Dembele limped off. I know I'm skipping ahead a little bit, but ahead of Saturday, Dembele and Norburn both limped off, and Norburn looked done for 5 minutes before he actually finally got subbed. So you're scratching around now thinking CJ probably comes in for Dembele if he's out, and Carey, but suddenly we're very threadbare, really. That bench didn't really fill me with too much hope of us changing the game if we did go 1-0 down, or if we were struggling to break through. So it had all the markings of another miserable away day, didn't it? But for some reason, I jumped in my car and made the 3-hour trip, which proved very justified in the end with a scrappy 1-0 win in the cold.
I seem to remember on our group you saying it's not that bad a trip down from where I live. Was that obviously before the traffic chaos nightmare? Was it the M6 was shut?
M6 at Stafford.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I went straight down the M1, so it took me 3 hours to get there and then 2.5 back, so it wasn't too bad. But yeah, I imagine it was about an hour further to Blackpool, so I think it was like 323 fans went, but it was a good away, you know, it was a good atmosphere and everything. You think it might be a bit more quiet, but yeah, good support, and yeah, particularly the end, it was quite good scenes. It vaguely reminded me of the Scunthorpe away day in 2010 when all the players are giving it a big one at the end, and it's, you know, it's so close to the goal that you're right there with the players and you can hear them sort of shouting to each other. So when we're celebrating at the end, it was, you feel like you're sort of with them, so it was quite good, you know, quite a good moment to sort of cheer us on for the run in, really.
Obviously, just stepping ahead, what was there a mood of promotion or a playoff potential amongst the fan base? Do you think that momentum's there? Do you think it's gathering a steam?
Definitely. I mean, no nutter's going to drive to Northampton without the belief we can do it, Ellie. So I suppose everyone that was there fully backs us, I would have thought, unless they're just going through the motions. But the majority of cases, you're not getting on that motorway without the hope, are you? So I certainly felt it. You know, I only drove down because I can feel like we can do it, and it's just a Blackpool way, like Simon Sadler said. So we're on track all of a sudden. I know Stevenage have a couple of games in hand, but it's what we're used to doing, isn't it? Certainly over the last 20, 25 years. So yeah, it feels like it was a big win. You know, it could have all gone wrong last night. It had all the hallmarks of a scrappy 0-0 or a 1-0 defeat, didn't it? So the fact that we got a scrappy goal ourselves and got over that line, despite trying to throw it away a couple of times at the end, It, like you said, with a Pompey draw, it might just galvanise us and help us see ourselves over the line. There was a couple of standout performances last night. Hayden Coulson, it's the first time I've seen him play live, but obviously watched a few games online, and yeah, that was the best performance I've seen him play. He's obviously made for that position on the left, whereas we've obviously been shoehorning the likes of Owen Dale in there, so it's quite good to see someone playing the position they're capable at, good going forward, good defensively. And yeah, the only other call I would say will be up front, because with Rhodes and Beasley, you sort of lack that pace, don't you, with them two? It's a bit of a, I can't remember the strike partnership we had in the Premier League. It was Ormrod and Taylor Fletcher at one stage, wasn't it? And it was very much lacking in pace, so it had those sorts of vibes to it. But, you know, you've got Lavery on the bench, you've got Joseph on the bench, you've got that option, but maybe the one concern that was that there weren't many goals of that team, but we obviously got one.
Well, we got two, really, didn't we?
Yeah.
So we'll look at it. Now, there's been a few stills kicking around the place. The actual replay itself, Dembele's got his hand in the way, hasn't he, on the actual video?
Yeah, that's the thing. I've seen a few different freeze frames and slow motions, and I know that, you know, you look at that there and think, yeah, it looks over the line. And my first thought was it was way over. And I think the body language of the Northampton players as well was that. But like you say, he couldn't do that again if he tried. His hand right at the split second where it comes down. So you can't, and you can't say 100%, you know, like with the goal line technology, which I didn't realise we didn't have in League One, to be honest. I thought the ref was going to look at his watch and go running off and, well, you know, we'd celebrate the goal. And well, thankfully, you know, we went on to score in the second half because, again, had we not done, then you'd be looking at that thinking, that's another poor refereeing decision.
Done us.
Cost us a couple of points, but thankfully it didn't matter in the end unless we miss out by a one on goal difference.
Yeah, I know I've got to drop off in a minute, but one thing I would say is Northampton were absolutely terrible, and they're in mid-table. You would have thought they were right at the bottom of the league because that's one of the worst home sides I've seen play. We were actually, you know, you give it the way every time there's a pass when it's your team, when you're 1-0 up. We were actually doing that for the back four, and they were just passing it from side to side and giving it to the goalkeeper. And then the left back goes and dribbles it out of play, or they kick it into the stands. So, really terrible. So, you know, you've got to win. You can only be what's in front of you. But if we'd have dropped points last night, that would have been a tragic result when you look at some of the other teams we've got to play between now and the end of the season. So, yeah. Take it, you know. You take your win when you can get them, but we'll face better opposition than that, I think. And we need to really learn how to kill teams off when we're 1-0 up and run the clock down a lot better than we did last night.
Tom, you did. Sorry, Andy, go on.
So Chisnell was making Chisnell and Glenn Little, wasn't it, were on the commentary last night, and they were making comment right from the first 5 minutes about how little atmosphere there was in the ground apart from the Blackpool fans, and the Northampton fans were so quiet, and you just think that they think their season's almost over now. I thought Shrewsbury was about the worst I've seen, you know, over the two games that we played them, but bloody hell, like Northampton did a good job to imitate a team in the bottom of the league last night, really.
Do you think some of it, though, was I thought our shape was pretty good off the ball, yeah, well, in that we restricted them, so there wasn't a lot of space, and you could see their players kind of getting... It reminded us, me, a bit of some of our away performances where we're kind of knocking it around the back and then not really sure what to do when we get to the halfway line, and I think we held our shape quite well, and they were getting frustrated and didn't really have a plan B, and we're knocking it back, and you could hear their fans getting on the backs a bit, and I thought we, you know, don't get me wrong, it was... by no means a classic, but I thought we controlled it for, you know, some large periods of the game, and ultimately we've managed to sort of win ugly, if you like, which is something that we've not done.
Yeah.
You know, there's been so many games where you think, I just wish we could have ground it out there, and we've managed to do it, albeit against a very poor side. You know, I thought they were impressive when they came to Bloomfield Road. They did a real job on us, but they were a shadow of that. But you still got to beat what's in front of you, and probably didn't really get out of third gear, but we've got the win. And at this stage of the season, I'm quite pleased we managed to win ugly and grind it out. And it's all about the 3 points, really, isn't it? Because
yeah.
You know, we keep saying we've got to win. It's a must win to stay in the pack.
You'd take that against Saturday, wouldn't you?
Absolutely. You'd take it for the rest of the season.
Do you think Ollie Case has made a big difference. We just seem to be a bit more solid with him in there. He's not a naturally left-sided player, but I just feel more confident about them. I was fairly confident they weren't going to score all evening. I mean, Jimmy's been a great player for us this season. I don't know. I think Casey just adds a bit more, obviously, height, aerial ability, and just getting locked in.
I honestly felt, I feel as though that we're not getting done by that ball over the top that we've been done with. I mean, Connolly's been done by that ball so many times when he's played. Ubi's been done by that ball a few times this season, and it does seem a bit more solid. We lose that left footer, don't we? With Casey being a right footer on the left hand side, but like it's felt more solid with him and set pieces as well. Having him and Ekpiteta back at set pieces just gives us another presence in the box, in the defending aspect of the game as well. So, overall, I was pretty pleased with Casey. I thought Casey was probably the man of the match. But I think that people have got a good argument for Coulson as well. To be fair,
do we know what Hubby's? Has he gone for a scan or something? Did I read today?
I haven't read that. To
was
be honest,
thigh. Was it something to do with this?
Yeah, I might have imagined.
Have we heard about Morgan? How long Morgan's supposed to be out for? Because I'd actually forgotten
a bit about him, Andy.
Where it becomes apparent is if we're losing Norburn on Saturday, Morgan is the most sensible replacement, isn't he?
I think he's not. I don't think he's back in for a bit. I think they said Dembele, Bison's mentioned in the comments, Dembele's okay. He was walking around okay after the match. I think it was just tiredness. You know, he's played this is more football he's played than he's played his entire career, isn't it? You know, week in, week out. He was a sub for everywhere else he's been and not played much football. And he's getting 90 minutes every week or twice a week. So I think it's just a bit of tiredness for him. So hopefully he'll be all right. But Norburn and Byers have been, you know, good together. I know Norburn started really well early in the season, didn't he? And then it sort of tailed off a bit. But I think Byers coming in has helped him and they've looked, you know, quite good together. So we'll see. I think they said it was his ribs again, which kept him out for a good while earlier in the season, didn't it? So fingers crossed it's not a reoccurrence and he's okay for Saturday because it's virtual otherwise, isn't it? Because Morgan's...
Byers would have to sit, wouldn't he? And that then loses the link-up that we've got. Yeah, we're in a difficult spot.
Has Byers made a difference, Andy? What do you think of the impact Byers has made?
Yeah, I think the link-up is good. He brings a bit more solidity. Like he's very aware of his defensive the defensive needs of the game and also tries to make an impact going forward, doesn't he? But I like him. He puts it all in, doesn't he?
He's got good feet as well.
And he seems to want it. And he's played in teams that have gone up, so like maybe. But I personally, if you ask me, I think we're sure to going up. But I'd like to think we will go up, but I think we'd be short ultimately at the end.
I was going to put that as a question right at the end.
Yeah,
I think we're going to fall just short as well, Andy. I think we've left it all too late.
Our history.
Pardon the interruption. Normal service will be resumed shortly. This is just a quick message to say, if you're enjoying this content, I would like to say thanks for this podcast and the many others, then please consider joining our Patreon supporter group program where you can donate a small monthly amount to help support this content and help us pay our bills. To do so, go to patreon.com/seasiderspod. There are several tiers you can support us on, starting from the price of a pint per month and upwards. And in exchange, you get this annoying advert removed from all audio pods and also everything ad-free on the audio. You'll also get access to our Patreon supporters WhatsApp group, which is good fun, and other random giveaways as and when they come in. So please do support us. patreon.com/seasiderspod. Let's get back to the content. See you later.
As a lot of people will convince themselves is that we make late charges to the playoffs. We won't do that without scoring a lot more goals, like, or being more potent in front of goal. right? We have to kill games off. It's no good being like trying to hang on at 1-0 against better sides. It won't happen, right?
Past Bolton though, didn't we?
Yeah. We've just got to be more potent though, Nick. I think we've been a bit lackluster in front of goal for a lot of times. We're actually better when teams come out and play, I think. Yeah. And hopefully Wigan will do that and give us a bit of space to play.
Well, I think Derby will as well.
Derby straight after.
This
run of three away games. If you take 6 points, I don't think it'd be a bad return. And like anything more than that's really good. And then don't forget, then we have 3 home games on the bounce. And so if we can get into a challenging situation, like at the end of these 3 away games, then 3 home games, then it's all on for the fans, the players, the manager and everybody else to throw all our cards in and just go for it in 3 home games and then see where we are then for the last 3 games.
Just nipping back to the Northampton game, the goal itself, Pennington, Nick, he's had the first header and he's followed it in, bit of a scramble. I thought we were going to see another Man City at home goal mouth scramble, but it went in a bit quicker, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. Not as muddy a pitch either. I think the goal was befitting of the match, really. Do you know what I mean? It reflected the game. It was scrappy, but like I said before, it doesn't matter at this stage of the season. We've won ugly, and that's something we've not done very often. So I'll take it. And especially with what had happened in the first half, where you're thinking, is that gone over the line? Is that going to cost us? Thankfully, it didn't. And, we got the win. We saw it out. They had that shot that got blazed over, didn't they? We had a shot from Virtue, and then got to mention Jordan Gabriel's run in the 96th minute, was it? The length of the pitch, and then
it bobbled just before he hit it.
About to whack it into the top corner for goal of the season.
Yeah.
It bobbled like it was on Common Edge or something, and he took an air shot and fell over.
I think everyone was laughing at him. I think
he was laughing himself, wasn't he, on the floor?
Well, thank God we were 1-0 up, because can you imagine if it had been 0-0 and that was to try and win it? I don't think we'd have been laughing as much, but yeah.
No.
It didn't matter in the end. But
Nick, as Andy said before, we do need to be a bit more clinical. We're having a bit of a joke about it. However, I think we did kind of take our foot off the gas a bit in the closing stages, and they had 3 sort of half chances to get back in it. That one where I think it was from a corner, it was played very deep, bounced, and their right back, his body shape was perfect. I thought, here we go, this is a volley going into the top corner. I don't know if you remember it.
Yeah.
He caught it nicely, but blazed it over. Like Blackpool for a team like Northampton to have their once in a season worldie coming in that game. I was like, sick in my stomach almost when I saw him winding up for that. But thankfully it went over. But I think Andy's point is valid, that one of those 3 chances could have gone in. It'd been very like us to have gone in. So we do need to be looking at killing teams off, particularly as poor as Northampton are.
Yeah, possibly. I think, there was times when we were playing it across the back, but then they weren't pressing a great deal. So when you're 1-0 up away from home, if you've got the ball, it's not the end of the world. I think it kind of sort of depends on the opposition and how you're playing, doesn't it? And they weren't doing a great deal. I think we were kind of happy just to have the possession and maybe sit at 1-0 and see it out, which we've managed to do. Yeah, had that gone in, then it's probably a completely different story. But thankfully, they didn't. And, and we got the win.
Okay. We haven't done player ratings for ages.
Martin Stewart's made a point in the comments, but I don't want to do that now. I will come back to that at the end, near the end. I will have my say because I did talk to the police about it. Okay. So I will do that at the end.
Right. Okay. So yeah, we've not done player ratings. I think I want to talk about a couple of players in particular. So
when you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Let's do that little segment because we've not done it for a while. Okay, yeah, Andy, let's go from top to bottom. You can start with Grimmy. He's been brilliant the last few games and just dealt with whatever was thrown at him again this evening.
Just wants a clean sheet, doesn't he? He just lives for a clean sheet.
Three on the spin. Three clean sheets on the spin now.
Yeah, like really, just really good. I can't say he had that much to do, did he, last night? But I think he was just solid, wasn't he?
Did everything he needed to, didn't he?
Yeah, eight plus.
Yeah. Jordan Gabriel, one thing I've noticed with Gabriel, he's very good in the air as well. You don't think he's a massive guy, but he's bigger than you think. And he's gone from strength to strength, and he's obviously displaced CJ, hasn't he?
Yeah. And I think, you know, and rightly so, really. I think what you get from him is consistency, both from an attacking point of view, but also from a defensive point of view. He fits the role well, similar to, you know, like him and Coulson on either side, I think is the best pairing we've had this season. And he had a good game last night, nearly capped it off with a worldie. So I will give him an 8.
We've all done those fresh air shots in our sorry little playing careers, haven't we?
Yeah.
It was the only thing I had in my armoury.
Okay, Matthew Pennington, Andy, scored his own rebound for the goal. And,
He's showing a bit more willingness to carry the ball as well. I feel as though he's trying to carry the ball coming out, which enables Gabriel to push a bit higher. He's been a good solid signing for us, I think. I think we're all happy with him in the team. 8.
Let's actually do defenders. Let's do it in this proper order. Nick, you can do Ollie Casey next. I've sold the virtues of Ollie Casey. Do you agree?
Yeah, I thought he had a good game. And I'm always happy to see him in the starting lineup. I think those three together work very well. And hopefully it will continue for the rest of the season. Last night, he got his tackles in, won his headers. So I will give him an 8+.
Big Marv for you, Andy. Scored what was looked a decent goal, chalked off. But he's I think Rags always said he's a good defender. He does what defenders do. And after I think lesser men could have crumbled, but I think he's come back quite strong this season, hasn't he, after the initial disappointment of the first half of the season.
Yeah, he's not a ball playing centre half, is he? He's a centre half who clears blocks. Whatever. There's a point to be made, I suppose, that sometimes his blocks cover up his own little errors, but overall, just solid, really. Last night, 7+.
Okay, Nick, Hayden, Coulson. I've said to Ben a couple of times when we first signed, what's the point in signing this guy? He's he just flattered to see first couple of games that he's really coming into his own last two or three games. And personally, for me, he was my man of the match. Everything seemed to come down the left-hand side or attacks, and I thought he had his best game yet in a Tangerine.
Yeah, I concur. He was my man of the match too, I think, from the first minute. And the commentators mentioned it, you know, how much he was looking to get forward and try and beat his man and, you know, get the ball into the box. I think he's getting stronger and stronger each game. He's making the position his own. And he was my man of the match, so I will give him a 9.
I do. So I think it's good that we've actually got a proper left wing back playing in a left wing back position. It makes a huge difference.
Of course it does. And it's not rocket science, is it? You know, to play people in their natural positions, and then that's how you will get the best out of them. And like I say, I think him on one side and Gabriel on the other is the way to go for us.
Owen Dale's been playing right wing for Oxford. He's been getting quite a few plaudits, setting goals up, but that's his position, isn't it? He's a right winger.
Well, yeah, again, if you depending on formations and you know, and the like, if you're playing a certain, you know, if you did 4-4-2 with, you know, with him as a winger, then you'd have him in every day of the week. But we don't. And I think this system, you know, we've tried numerous different people in it, and some of the time it's not their natural position, and surprise, surprise, you know, they're not always very consistent with it. I think with Gabriel and Coulson, it's no surprise that it's working out.
I think when you doubted it, John, when you doubted Coulson, we had Lyons and we had Dale.
Right.
So still knocking around, who are both our players. Coulson's not our player, remember? He's Middlesbrough's player, isn't he?
Well, Dale's not our player anymore, is he?
Well, no. But what I'm sort of saying is they were our players. And
yeah.
No, so we've offloaded to bring in a lone player. So, like, never fall in love with the lone player, as they say. But
needs must, I guess.
It's a lot of teams get promoted by the good use of the loan system. Mm. So let's knock that. We can't knock that, and we haven't done badly this year. I wouldn't say it's been great, but we haven't done badly really.
Wow. Tough words from the Grim Reaper then.
Don't get used to it.
Right, Andy, into the midfield. Have you got those positive vibes for Ollie Norburn's performance?
No, not really. it's just, he's all right, but don't we all wish he'd get his head up and look forward. Like, he has got it in him. He has got it in him. But, like, please, Mr. Norburn, if you're looking, or if Mrs. Norburn's listening on his behalf, tell him to bloody play forward. He's just, that's my only, he tries to be solid, but he's been a progressive midfielder before. So, like, let's say it again. And if we are going to get into the playoffs, we're going to need him to be progressing forwards, not sideways. But
having Byers in there, though, he perhaps brings that a bit more. And Norburn, so just jumping back to the Portsmouth game, I thought Norburn was very, very good, you know, just breaking the play up. And I do get it. Yeah, sometimes you look up and think, go on, give it a forward pass and he'll maybe knock it sideways. But I think he does that kind of dirtier side of the game quite well that maybe doesn't get noticed as much because we're all just looking for the wonder pass or, you know, a repeat of the wonder goal he scored a good few weeks ago. And I think there is more to him than we're perhaps seeing week in, week out, you know, like when he was at Peterborough. But I think him and Byers work quite well together.
Sorry, Nick, I was just looking at the comments. Posh have just scored.
Good news.
It's all coming together.
The stars are aligning.
I've seen the other game, by the way, tonight. Just like ridiculous. Luton were 3-0 up at Bournemouth in the Premier League, and start of the second half, Bournemouth have just scored. But, like, bonkers. The bottom of that league's as bonkers as we've got some things elsewhere. But we really need Peterborough to win that game, I think. I think we are scrapping over sixth.
Yeah, I agree.
What was your score for Norburn, Andy?
Seven.
Okay, Nick, he's a midfield partner. Gorgeous George, since he played last night.
Yeah, a couple of times with the odd stray pass, but I think, like I said, I think he works quite well with Norburn in there. He does a lot of talking as well, you know, like telling players where to be, where to go, what to do, which is no bad thing. I'd give him a seven for last night.
Okay. Dembele, Andy. Has anyone noticed Chizzy? He flicks between saying Dembele and Dembele. Make your mind up, Chizzy. Which one is it? It does my head in.
Lucky he doesn't call him Connolly or something.
Did you,
Dave Smith?
Did you not see that corner? That corner last night. Oh, my good God. Right. So, right. He's going to be an in-swinger with his left foot. This is Chizzy on commentary. He's going to have a left-footed in-swinging corner. They love in-swingers. And then he goes around. Oh, he's gone round the ball and he's going to take it an out-swinger with his right. And then he goes, and there's a player come over for a short corner. He's never going to take a short corner. Oh, he has. He's taken a short corner. And just like, you absolute. Everything we think about Chisnell summed up in one corner.
They should get Sean McGinley on comms again, shouldn't they?
Anyone, right? We'll call it the ABC Club. Anyone but Chisnell.
Yeah.
That's what we'll call.
Even
the ABC
Sean.
Club. Anyway,
back to Dembele.
Going back to Dembele.
Dembele. Dembele. Dembele. Dembele.
Not his best game, but like I think he was a bit leggy, a bit tired.
He's played a lot of football recently.
Yeah, he has, and I think we're all accepting of the fact that he's going to be a bit knackered at times, and he just should put him away for a couple of days and let him have some rest. I think probably not his best game, seven.
I agree.
For him last night.
Okay, Nick up to the front line. Jake Beasley.
We need him.
Yeah, we do. Yeah. he's allowed the odd little blip every now and then.
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely brilliant, the two.
Yeah,
Kimberly.
Definitely. Jake Beasley. Yeah, like I said at the start, he probably, you know, he deserves his starting place at the moment. There weren't loads of chances, but I think he put a real shift in. He wins, you know, for a guy who's quite lightweight, he puts himself about and,
when he bounced off that centre half, that was brilliant.
Yeah. And he does win quite a lot in the air, though, I think. Yeah, it was scrappy last night, wasn't it? I'll give him a 7+.
He does a lot of work.
And what I noticed as well.
Tries his heart.
He was a couple of times he charged the keeper down. Yeah. I think it was him who it came off, didn't it? Back to, but you know, didn't unfortunately go in. But yeah, he doesn't stop running and puts himself about.
Okay, and finally, Jordan Rhodes, Andy.
Just on
side netting, didn't he?
Yeah, just on the theme with Rhodes, to be honest. I mean, no, I was told give him a chance, he'll stick it away, but he'll do nothing else for you. I've been really impressed by how much effort he puts in, trying to defend from the front.
He played really well against Portsmouth as well. He made a massive difference in that game, I thought.
Yeah, honestly, you could see why we needed him when you brought him into that Portsmouth game. You know, quality player, and you could see that's what he is, really. It's a bit worrying that he's not scored for a while, but he's just a bit of a streaky goal scorer, isn't he? And like he could quite easily notch one on Saturday and go on a 7-game run. And it wouldn't be unlike him.
Form is temporary, class is permanent.
Yeah. He's due now, and if he can get a little bit of a run and go past 20 goals, I think that'd be a really good return from the amount of games he's played, to be honest. It's great
we've got him. Sorry, Andy, I've got a score of you. No, go on.
He's probably not quite his best game, but still, I think he tried. He tried hard, hit the side net in, nearly had the goalkeeper again in the second half. 7+.
It's fair enough. Man of the matches, I think we all agreed on Coulson. Andy, have you got any?
I'd go Carey with Coulson just behind, but I can see why you guys would go the other way round, really. So I think Coulson is your two's opinion, isn't it?
Okay, as we just said, Jordan Rose, it's great to have him back for the run-in. Let's have a look at the run-in. Doesn't seem that long since we were talking about how awkward February's looking, and now we're in March, almost halfway through March. We've got remaining Wigan away, Fleetwood at home, that's been moved. Derby away, that's going to be big. Wickham at home, Cambridge at home, Carlisle away, Barnsley at home, and Reading away. Looking at that, it's quite a favourable run-in.
Yeah, but you never know. You know, the end of the season, ideally you want to be playing teams in mid-table, you know, because otherwise you've got teams who are looking to get promoted or get into the playoffs or are fighting for their lives at the other end of the table. I mean, Carlisle look doomed, don't they? I think they're about 16 points off of...
Yeah, Carlisle
off safety. Derby away, that's going to be a tricky one, to say the least. You know, Barnsley are going well, although they got tonked by Lincoln, didn't they? They were absolutely flying. And then Reading away, it's going to be interesting with what's going on with Reading as well. If we went there last day of the season needing something and, you know, all their protests are going on and everything, that would be... ironic, wouldn't it, if the game got abandoned or something? We couldn't really complain, could we?
Get off the pitch. What are you doing? You make a point now. Get off the pitch.
Yeah. I don't know what would go on.
Who said that?
It would have the irony of all ironies, wouldn't it?
It's just that neck, actually.
Yeah, but I mean, don't get me wrong. I'd take going to the last game of the season with a chance of getting in the playoffs. You know, plenty to play for, isn't there? And I think, you know, you were saying before about we might fall just short. This, you know, the story of the season has been inconsistency, hasn't it? We've had one good performance followed by one very bad performance, one step forward, two back, and who knows? You know, we've had three sort of decent results on the bounce now. So that'll do the confidence the world of good. And, you know, like I said, it is the Blackpool way. So fingers crossed it can happen.
And I've just got this really strange image at Reading on the last day of them invading the pitch and Sadler running on with a load of £20 notes, giving them 20 quid to get off. But, and the like, in the it's just the when you look at it, it's a really important game Saturday. To be honest, I think it's really important that if we can get this one under our belt, we've got a bit of a free hit at Derby, and then we go into that run of home games. You go Wickham, Cambridge, Fleetwood. Wickham, Cambridge, Fleetwood, then we go to Carlisle, and then we play Barnsley at home before the last day. So that once we get over Derby, that we have got a favourable run. You wouldn't have asked for much more than that, to be honest. Two teams that are probably
Let's get
going to be fighting for nothing. Carlisle will be gone. Fleetwood obviously could be fighting. Barnsley might be already in the playoffs by then, and then you go to Reading.
We've got the return of Charlie as well as manager of Fleetwood. That was an extra spice to it.
Just when I said Luton were 3-0 up at half time, it's now 3-0.
Let's have a quick look at. Where's the box? There it is. These are Stevenage's remaining fixtures. So they're playing Peterborough tonight, obviously losing 1-0. Orient at home, tricky. Carlisle away, probably win that. Bolton at home, tricky. Charlton away, tricky. Exeter away, tricky. Barnsley at home, tricky. So they've got quite a tough run in comparison. So reasons to be cheerful, Grice Reaper.
I honestly the worry to me is Lincoln. They're the worry to me. I think we'll catch enough points back up on Stevenage by the end, as long as we play well. But I worry about Lincoln. Lincoln are on a proper run at the minute, something like 6 wins and 2 draws out of the last 8. I really would worry more about them at the minute, because if we're going for a run and they go on a run, then obviously they've got a relatively easy running, to be honest. I think they've played most of the big sides now.
But it doesn't really matter if we do what we need to do. They're 2 points below, are we? So
if we win all the games, we'll if we win all the games, we'll go up, won't we?
What about Oxford then? Are they done? Do we think they're done? I think it's going to knock the stuffing out of them, that 5-0, embarrassing 5-0 defeat to Horwich Wanderers last night.
Yeah, maybe. But there's still a lot more to football to play, isn't it? I think, like Andy said, Lincoln are they're top of the form table. Portsmouth are second, but we're third. So, we're
three
on a decent...
3-4 with
yeah. We're on a decent run ourselves.
They're 3-4 away from home. Who'd have thought that, given our turkey the way form and performance?
And mixed in with one absolutely dire performance in the middle of it all. That's what does your head in. And if we get to the end of the season and we've missed out by a couple of points, and we're going to look back at Burton, Port Vale, Cambridge, Leighton Orient, et cetera, and just go, oh my God, how the hell are we not got into the playoffs with
us? Vale haven't won, believing. Not won since they beat us, Portsmouth, Port Vale.
Yeah, there's still twists and turns to go, and you can look at that. Like someone said in the comments there, we've got to do it, Stephen Roberts. We've got to do our own things and can't control what others, And you get silly results at the end of the season. Like I said, you get teams at the bottom beating teams at the top. It happens every single year without fail. So let's just focus on us and keep up the form we've shown in the last few games.
As I said, we've got a fantastic support going. Well, it looks like we're going to have a fantastic support of Wigan on Saturday. If that can see us over the line, we've then got Derby, and then we've got a run of home games where really then, if we're still in with a good shout, like then is all on. It's on to all of us then to get that ground full and firing. But let's worry about the next game first, and let's get beat Wigan first, and then try and take it from there.
Let's look at the next game, which is Wigan away this Saturday. I think we're going to be taking a large following. Is it 2,000? I've bought mine now. All my mates going. Is it 2,000 we've sold so far?
That was at lunchtime. I think a lot of people would have been waiting for last night's result, wouldn't they? And, I think we're a fan base that tends to not snap up tickets sort of within 24 hours. It's always a few of my mates are kind of waiting till Friday before they get theirs. There's up to, I think we've got 3,000 something, then you can get a second batch if need be. So I think we'll be over the 3,000 mark, if not pushing a bit further up towards 4, hopefully. So it's, let's hope we perform in worthy of the following.
We need to get that. If there's going to be a late take up, then we need to get the sales high earlier on in the week, don't we? Or from tomorrow, so that they can ask for more.
Mm-hmm. I was in the sauna at the gym this evening, and I heard two or three lads talking about, "Are you going to Wigan?" And they all said, "Yeah." So I think there's a bit of buzz building around the town.
Well, the sales of Raggy Aid have gone through the roof today. The Raggy Aid sold out in all the off licences in South Shore today.
So even Bison's is going.
Bison's. Bison's is full of the joys. Predicting 3 points.
I got shot down a bit in our WhatsApp group about saying we never win when there's big followings.
Wow. It's
just like us to go there. You know what I mean? When we get 3,000 or 4,000 big crowds, we always seem to falter. You want that?
Yeah. Sorry. Outside of the, yeah, I know what you
Premier
mean.
League. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the playoff finals and stuff. Yeah, there's been plenty of time. Then again, you know, Preston, we've taken 5,000 there and won, haven't we? So let's be positive.
I'm scarred by, as I said, scarred by Sinsel Bank and the Best Cup Stadium. Can't get those out. It's burned in my brain, those two games.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Those of a certain vintage. Right, how are we going to get on against Wigan? They're a bit up and down. Beaten Bolton at home. They've beaten Leighton Orient at home, two good teams, but then they've lost to Fleetwood recently, 4-2, and they've lost to Wickham, drawn with Cheltenham. So they're very an up and down side. They're a decent side. Well, he's a decent coach, so it's not easy. It's not turn up and we'll win by any stretch of the imagination.
No, but I'm going to predict a 2-1 win for Poole.
I was on the Wigan podcast earlier giving my thoughts and I said exactly that scoreline, Nick. 2-1. To close the show, Gricey, give us your thoughts on Wigan.
2-0. And
three of us.
2-1. I can't tell you. 2-0. I don't want to drag a negative, but like I am responding to a comment. Right. So I came out of Bloomfield Road at the Portsmouth game with the little one with me and decided I just walked down Bloomfield Road towards the Bloomfield Club. So we're by the arcade club and Portsmouth fans are coming at it, giving Billy Big whatever's at us, like loads of people with kids. And so we see two police officers on the corner by the arcade club. So I said, guys, sort this out. Send them another way, for God's sake. Like, you're sending them straight into our fans, right? And they're giving it large. They're not the most backward at coming forward, are the
Portsmouth? They're a bit rough. They're a bit rough.
They are.
A lot of people.
They are. To be fair, and like, look. So they heading straight towards our fans, and thus the Armfield Club as normal. And the, when the police want a bit of, idiocy, and so I spoke to two police officers there, and they're both saying, "Sorry, orders from above. Can't do anything about it." So I said, well, you didn't treat Bolton like that. So go down to the corner of Bloomfield Road where it meets Central Drive. So I then see a well-known officer around our games. And I say to him the same thing with his mate. So making the same point, like, this is not on. You can't do this. You can't police games like this because it's just an accident waiting to happen. And which obviously did happen. How can we see that and they can't? And that's what it completely does my head in, right? And the point I was making was, I'm with a little one. My first thought is to protect that kid, right? That's my first thought. And if anyone comes within his space, like, I'm going to throw a punch, aren't I? Right. If I throw a punch, I've got a 3-year ban and I'll probably get done before the courts for nothing that's my fault.
They just need to block off Back Henry Street. Just put a line of coppers. Don't let them. Just, let the Blackpool fans just walk away. Give it 10 minutes after the game. It's just common sense.
It's just making more and more problems.
Yeah, that area, Andy. After every game, there's always a bit of an undercurrent of something's going to kick off. I was very surprised after that Bolton game that nothing happened, nothing serious. It really does need looking at.
I think the advantage of the Bolton one was we were 4-1 up, and they all cleared off, and they were tails between the legs and went home.
Yeah,
and they just got out of there as fast as they could because they didn't want any mither because they were just fed up. Could you imagine us scoring in the last minute to win that 2-1?
They normally leave to the one side, and then by the time they've all come onto Bloomfield Road, then all the lads from the north have made it all around the west, and it's like a perfect storm every game, and it's mental.
It's an absolute joke, and I'm sorry, but the Lancashire police need to answer for that. And as someone put in the comments earlier on about it, it has to be sorted, and they have to sort it out.
It was Martin Stewart. Going back to Portsmouth again, loads of away fans walking into the south area, causing trouble. Police filming, but just watching. Poor again.
There was some hassle. There was some hassle, I'm told, not long after the game, and it didn't need a rocket scientist to tell me that was going to happen, because I was telling the police there's going to be a load of trouble in a minute. There's going to be a load of trouble. I don't know what you're doing here, but we're officers down, and we haven't got as many as we had against Bolton, but surely you're going in with a plan. Anyway, I've had my I'll be also that. But
let's not sign off on the negative. It's nothing to do with the club whatsoever. Obviously, it's
a police issue.
It's a police issue. It does need sorting though, because there's always something.
Yeah,
every game around that area, you're right. So let's hope someone from the
draw
local
a line
cons-
that.
Yeah, local constabulary is listening, and whether they're going to do something about it, who knows. So I think we're on.
Anyway, let's get loud and proud on Saturday.
Yeah, let's focus on Wigan. It's absolutely massive game. Blackpool fans turning out in the numbers, and let's hope we can suck the ball into that massive terrace and a repeat of Gary Medine's elbowing and charging their player away and smashing it into that volley into the top corner. But as Tom said, let's get some revenge for Curtis Tilt last season.
We'll be signing Gary Medine as the centre half if we get many more injuries.
A certain panellist would be liking that. Right, thanks for watching, everybody. Do like and subscribe to the video if you're watching on YouTube. Do give us a good rating on iTunes if you're listening on that, or Apple Podcast, whatever it's called. And as we said, thanks for watching, everybody. Thanks for your comments. Thanks for downloading. And up the pool, where the playoff push is still on. Just before you head off, I know you've just enjoyed what you've listened to. Of course you have. Why not consider joining our Patreon supporter program for the price of a pint per month? You'll get extra bonus content in return. You'll get no ads on the audio pod. You'll get faster releases of the audio pod. You'll get it before the Great and Wash does. And also, you'll be saying thanks for these brilliant podcasts, and you'll be helping us pay our hosting costs, our streaming software costs, electric, that kind of thing. So yeah, it'd be greatly appreciated if you could support us, patreon.com/seasiderspod. Price of a pint per month, and you also get access to our WhatsApp patron supporters group, which is a good laugh. We've got a nice community going on in there, and you'll also have access to competitions and giveaways when they do happen. So yeah, please do consider signing up and supporting us. That URL again, patreon.com/seasiderspod. And if you don't sign up, you're a Big fat crew. See you later. Thanks for listening.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.